Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. It is Wednesday night, April 27th, 2022. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen by Spen McAdoo. How's it going?
Spenny McAdoo here, feeling good. We got Zeej, our boy, new Baltimore Beatdown writer here. Nikhil popping in early. The boys are buzzing. It is draft eve. When you're listening to this, if you're listening to this in the podcast form, it's a day of the draft, and we're going to be mock drafting, trying to have fun. I am pumped up. I'm excited. The time is finally here. We'll be going live later tonight, and I'm just jazzed, man. Again, Cole hates it when I say it, but I pace myself well. I didn't feel the burnout of like, man, can this shit just be over with? I feel good. I feel spry. It's been a long day, but it's exciting. Going to be posting my edge rankings as well tomorrow. So I'm popping, baby. How are you feeling?
I'm actually feeling really good too. I'm very excited. This was a process that, it was a little bit long. I got burned out in some ways. And I think as we've spoken about over the last couple days and weeks, like the whole mock draft culture has kind of burned me out on itself a little bit, where I'm just like, you know, and I talk about this in my article, my one mock draft that I'm doing that I think is going to come out tomorrow, or it better come out tomorrow. It just feels like if everyone's going to have a mock draft and I'm going to get like 50 of them sent to me on Twitter, it's like, where is the actual import of this? And I don't know. It's like the answer is, of course, there is some real import. You just have to choose where and how you engage with it. So I've kind of taken a step back. Like, I used to do a couple mocks a year for the site. I didn't really do it this year because I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do one mock. I'm going to take the approach that I did with the fantasy football team, where I only do one fantasy football team a year, and that gives me a lot more skin in the game. I'm doing one mock draft. It's going to come out tomorrow. We're going to talk about it tonight on the show, so a little spoiler alert. But yeah, it's going to be fun.
It is. I hear you loud and clear. I've tried to have as much fun as I could with all the mock drafts and everybody getting into it. PFF's tool has been fun this offseason. I saw PFF Moo posted that they had 273,000 mock drafts done on either Monday or Tuesday alone. So it's there. The Draft Network has theirs. There's Pro Football Network. There's a mock. It's mock o'clock. I get it for sure. I don't know. I had a nice time. I would say in relativity of the 3 years we've done this, I think this year, I don't want to say it's the least amount of work I've put in. I just haven't fought much. I haven't fought myself. I haven't fought Twitter. I haven't fought anything really. I've just tried to be a little laissez-faire, let it all take in, sift my way through some things. And I don't know. I'm excited for this one. It's a weird draft. It's a funky draft. It's a fun draft. I like the big uglies. I like defensive football players, all those things. And it's that kind of draft. So the mocks, I get it. You know, especially if you're doing it for years, if you're someone who's like, you know, a local news or local reporter or Jeff's Reback or something like that, how many mock drafts have you done? He's probably done 4 articles on mock drafts, then gets sent 500 every year for God knows how long, 15, 20 years Jeff's been going at it. You know, Jameson Hensley, all those guys. So it's, I don't know. Mock drafts are a weird thing. And
it's Zeej just
and
funny here, because like with the
day and they asked about it, they were like asking me about it. I was like, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
It is. It's funny because like, that was a great chat with you guys. Everyone should go check that out. Exit 52 pod that you did with them. But yeah, it's just fun. Like it's just funny because, and all the tools are great. Like the PFF one, I use that for my mock. The Draft Network one is great. They're all great tools, and like I love that people have fun with them. It's just like the images of the results of them that people like screen print and then like tweet at me. It's just burned into my brain at this point. And I'm not even telling you guys to stop because I love that people love having fun with them. It's very cool. But at a certain point, I'm just like, yeah, sick. Like, I love it. But like, you know, we're gonna, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be fun to watch, like I always say. So it's just kind of like what that comes down to for me. It's like at a certain point, there just needs to be, I think, a statute of limitations. So I'm limiting myself. People feel free to continue to do whatever you want with it and continue to send them to me because I do get a kick out of how much everyone really seems to enjoy it. I think it's a lovely thing, very wholesome. So yeah, that's my take on all that. But I mean, I guess before we get into that, it's basically here. I mean, the draft is less than 24 hours from now. We're going to be sitting here in this very room. I have to fucking outfit it for a live stream after getting home from work. I'm not going to have much time to do that, but listen, we'll figure it out. Maybe I'll do it a little bit tonight. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. How are you feeling about the draft in general?
Like I said, I feel it's going to be interesting to see how teams navigate that kind of 15, 20-ish through like 60. This is the number one year where it feels like it's been quiet, kind of. There's nothing that's really that attention grabbing. We don't, you know, apparently Trayvon Walker will be the number one pick, has been circulating through the check marks this evening. So that, you know, has gotten a ton of bubble, a ton of run the last couple of weeks. And other than that, man, it's a crapshoot, but it feels like it's not high stakes this year. I'm excited to see how it pans out next year, 2 years from now, and looking back and seeing where the value is. But watching teams try and navigate, acquire picks next year, consolidate, get up to that, you know, top 75 range is going to be fun. I think there's going to be a record amount of trades. And I don't know what that number is exactly, Nikhil. Jake keeps the clubs in there. Everybody knows he likes to swing the irons, baby.
I don't know
what the record for trades is, but I think it's broken this year. That's my bold predicky, I guess.
Dude, it's crazy because when you go through the first round, like everyone's already traded. Like it's like, you know, Philly via Saints via Philly, like, you know, Texans via the Browns, like all this, like everyone's already traded, which is the weird thing about predicting trades for this one, which I obviously did, but like, I don't know. It feels like a lot of these teams have already kind of made their moves and moved around the board. There's so many teams with like two first round picks and then other teams that like don't even have that many day three picks. So what are they going to do? Are they going to try to like accumulate some? Obviously a lot of talk about teams that are trying to move back. It's as much as it might lack a little bit of sizzle at the top, it's a pretty fascinating draft in that regard.
Certainly those tackles are fun. There's a lot of fun offensive linemen in this draft. Defensive linemen feel like it's pretty thin with the consensus that's come out or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, there's just a couple really loaded positions. We've talked about wide receiver extensively and your kind of, I guess, thesis that you put out like maybe 2 years ago. At the same time, it feels like tackle has been the opposite. There aren't deep tackle classes anymore. They're rare humans to find, but we don't know where it is, what it is, what's in the water. And this year, there are good options. There are good deep options. Cornerback, it feels like, especially for the Ravens, so many press man options. Edge defenders, which are, you know, them and tight ends, they're always just fun because they're like not fat big boys and they have a rare skill set. They're super athletic. They, you know, NBA basketball player kind of skill sets, maybe not quite as tall, but those classes are so deep. It's really perfect marriage for the Ravens, in my opinion, throughout. And overall, just excited. Don't feel like this is a super make or break draft for the Ravens necessarily.
I don't say that to some people.
Of course, every year is make or break. And especially depending on if you're maybe like 17 or 19 or 20, 21, like a lot of our listeners are, you get really into it. You know, you start hitting it hard, reading the mocks, reading the analysis, starting to do it on your own, and you can get really tied up into it. But this year just feels like they can make a long-term play. They can make a short-term play. They can go for insurance with a tackle. They can go for BPA, and it's all gravy. So many picks, so much mobility, all those things. So I think the Ravens are in a low-pressure position. The AFC is weird. They're weird. Coming off a weird year, it's just a very cloudy storm of what it's going to be like. And I just feel like there's not super urgency in anything. And I don't know, this does feel like, and now that we're closer to it and it's here, they're going to add some people to fill needs after the draft. They'll add a couple of veterans, whatever it is. So I'm just so curious to see how many times they pick, if it's 7 instead of what they have 9 picks, I think. If it's, you know, 8, what it is, or if they end up acquiring picks for next year because of the comp formula, which feels like a very Ravens thing to do. Listen to Eric DaCosta on Marlon Humphrey's Studio 44.
Which what's going on with that?
What'd you say?
What's going on with that? I mean,
you would love the last like 2 minutes of it. I don't know. I guess you didn't have time to watch it yet.
I'm going to.
It was stupid. It was fine. Good for Marlo, whatever. It was just, it'll make you smile.
I'm sure it was silly. Looking forward to it.
It was good. He did a good job. And it was funny. Eric DaCosta had a comment. I don't want to spoil too much for you. I'll let you experience that as you are a true Marlo, like, I don't want to say stan, but a true, truly fascinated by the creature that is Marlon.
I think
Humphrey,
I look at myself as a little bit of an ombudsman for him. Like, somebody's got to kind of like be there to sort of reverberate like the, you know, the bullshit, sift through the bullshit a little bit and kind of just like, you know, sort of be there to, I wouldn't say necessarily keep him in check because nobody can do that, but just sort of, I'm on that beat. Like, it's very like watch this space with me and Marlon Humphrey.
Exactly. And you love it, but he gets to a point where he asked a question about like, who's your favorite player on the team and why is it me? So like, why, how do you not see that one coming? And Eric DaCosta, of course, doesn't really respond, you know, you're my favorite or not, but he essentially says, you have matured so much as a player, which is hilarious to hear. But he says, you matured so much as a player. Apparently when he was young, he was like barking at DaCosta at one point saying like, apparently he refused to step on a scale to weigh in because he was probably too heavy. And he was like, why y'all keep trying to find me? Why y'all keep trying to find me? And he was like, you've come a very long way since then, Marlon. You take good care of your body now, yada, yada. And Marlon was like, all right, well, there's more context to that. That was my favorite part of it. Just funny to hear that little tidbit. But overall, you know, and it reminds me of that draft. This draft reminds me of that draft in ways where they can go do something a little weird, a little funky. And that was Marlon Humphrey then. And this class reminds me of that class in ways, and where the Ravens are as a team, as a franchise, as an organization in this draft reminds me kind of where they were then. So a fun, weird time to be a Ravens fan. Kind of, I don't know, entering a new territory, it feels like, that we've never been in before in many ways.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way of putting it. And it does kind of have those 2017 vibes with the fact that they're picking 17th. Or 14th, when they did pick 17th that year that they got Humphrey. And I remember that year kind of thinking like, oh man, they're kind of just outside of that striking range of like the elite players, you know, and like, who are they going to get? And like, I didn't even want Humphrey at the time. I was, you know, maybe fell victim a little bit to some of the draft nicks that called out some of his weaknesses, which were probably, you know, fair pieces of analysis at the time, but they proved to be wrong. He proved everyone wrong and was one of the better players of that class. And now it's kind of looking at the way this board is falling, kind of feels similar to me that it's like they're kind of just outside of that elite player striking range, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, you probably want to be inside the top 12 or 10 to get players like that in most years. But yeah, they're going to have, you know, at least one or two options that I think people are going to really like, unless, of course, they wind up with Trevor Penning, which apparently is a fate worse than death to some people.
Yes. So with that and with some of the comments in here, I did want to go through right before we get started, another gentleman who does exactly one mock draft per year. So I like that approach, Jakey. Benjamin Albright of KOA Radio covers the Broncos. He's an insider, and I really like Ben. I've been following him for a couple of years now, engaged with him a few times. He's the opposite of JLC. When he gets a scoop, it is true. He does not speak unless he feels confident or feels real. Doesn't go into like speculation as much based off of what he hears. Ends up being really accurate. Full disclosure, I don't know if my buddy Seth Vittori will listen to this. I think he has a few times. But he invited me to do a pool with a bunch of his friends from home, picking the first 10 picks of the draft, or I think picking the entire first round, whatever it was. Everybody put in $20. I think it was like 15 people that did it. I literally just copied Ben Albright's mock draft and got the first, I think I got like 9 of the first 10 and like 13 of the first 15 last year, something like that. He nails his shit is what I'm trying to say.
Another one, Josh Norris, to keep an eye on. 16 out of 32 last year, I think.
Yeah, Josh does a, I love his content. Love his content. He has some great guests. They get into really good conversations about what like schemes players came from in college and like how narratives shift around them and things like that. So he, I'm just going to read it off for you guys. Encourage you to read it yourselves too, but he has Trayvon Walker number 1, which we know, Hutchinson 2, Ekwonu 3, Gardner to the Jets at 4, Cross to the Giants at 5, and you're thinking, where's Evan Neal? Carolina Panthers taking Kenny Pickett at 6, Stingley to the Giants at 7, Drake London at 8 to the Falcons, Kayvon Thibodeau slips to 9, Jermaine Johnson falls to 10, or I guess not falls, but slips in right behind Thibodeau at 10, Garrett Wilson to the Commanders, Trent McDuffie at 12 to the Vikings, Kyle Hamilton to the Texans at 13, which I think is very much a good fit. One of my favorites in this class is Hamilton to the Texans in Lovie Smith's cover 2. Baltimore Ravens, 14, Jordan Davis, pick that we've talked about mucho on here. Eagles, Jameson Williams at 15. Evan Neal, who has fallen down boards apparently due to some health issues, goes 16 to the Saints. The Chargers take Penning. Booth at 18, Olave at 19 to the Saints. Steelers take Malik Willis as they sit at 20. Patriots, 21, Lloyd. Burks to the Packers, Dotson to the Cardinals, Green, Kenyon Green to the Cowboys. I like that fit. Think that one hits. Breece Hall to the Bills. I think that's a good possibility too. Zion Johnson to the Titans, Elam, Bucks. Karloftis goes to Green Bay. Mafe goes to the Chiefs as well as Dax Hill. 31 is Kyler Gordon for Cincinnati. The Lions cap it off with Matt Corral at 32. And the Broncos' first pick is Nick. This is unbelievable. He put nothing, no analysis. 64, Denver Broncos. He covers the Broncos. They don't have a pick in the first round. Nick Casabonito.
Casabonito.
In Colorado, too.
Unbelievable. I have been to Casabonito in Colorado myself, actually. It was incredible. So little South Park shout out. Great work, Ben. Love that dude. Hammers it in. Think that you should definitely take his bets. Pick-wise, put a dollar on each of those for fun if you want to tomorrow, if you're somewhere where you're capable of doing so. And you'll probably make some money. Ben's a smart dude. So he has the Neal falling past the Ravens. And the Ravens do the Ravens passed on Montez Sweat a couple years ago. I thought that was silly. And that ended up being like a misdiagnosis, essentially. So he has the Ravens taking Davis and Evan Neal going to 16. Trevor Penning and Evan Neal one pick apart. I think the Saints would be ecstatic to replace Neal or replace Teron Armstead with Evan Neal, who feels like a pretty safe prospect aside from whatever's going on with his medicals.
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds like he's pretty plugged in. He does, he strays from mine a little bit, which makes sense because he's plugged in and I am not. But you never know. I mean, sometimes things go a little bit differently than people are expecting. And even a guy like Ben can be taken for by some of these GMs that he's, presumably talking to. I know he's in Denver. I know he's also a Chiefs fan. So he might, have some connections in Kansas City. So who knows? But so I guess, do you want to get into mine now?
Let's do it.
Judge it against his. Okay. I have it pulled up here. So let me. Crushing this. Okay, there it is.
No worries, my friend.
Okay. So I'm sticking with Aiden Hutchinson at 1. I just think it feels a little smoky, like the Trayvon Walker stuff. It started coming up like just about a week ago. The first thing I heard on it was Will Brinson actually saying it on a podcast, on the Pick 6 podcast, before the odds had even started to change. So there's reason, I think, to believe it. And I definitely do think that there is a potentially a little bit of a split inside that building wherein you've got the ownership group of Shad and Tony Khan doing his like funky ass dances in the owner's box. And then you've got obviously Trent Baalke, the GM. Trent Baalke, to me, he feels a little lame duckish as the GM. I think he wants Trayvon Walker. And I think that's kind of where that side of things is coming from. I think the ownership group probably wants Hutchinson. So I'm going to have them overruling Trent Baalke and going with Hutchinson. Obviously, the Michigan connection, the Jim Harbaugh connection is part of the Trayvon Walker thing. They also, people have said that Trayvon Walker just fits with Baalke's, with his profile of player that he likes a little bit more. But yeah, I have them going Aiden Hutchinson. I got Kayvon Thibodeau at 2 to the Lions. Another kind of stock pick that people aren't totally expecting. But it just feels like full circle with this guy, right? Like we started out, he was the top prospect ahead of the season. Then he did his typical dip that some of these top prospects do. And it's like people questioning X, Y, and Z about his off the field stuff. Listen to an interview with the guy and you'll come away loving him. So I don't know where all that's coming from. It might just be smoke. In this case, I choose to believe that it is. And Dan Campbell gets if not a kneecap biter, then just a guy that he can build around on defense. So that's a 2. I got Derek Stingley at 3 to the Texans. It feels like they could go in a lot of different directions. But he does feel like probably the best fit as far as a cornerback goes for a Lovie Smith defense. So I went with him over Sauce Gardner. Malik Willis at 4 to the Falcons. I got them trading up to the Jets. I don't have exactly what I gave up in front of me. I think it was their third round pick this year. So they take the first quarterback. Trayvon Walker goes to the Giants at 5. Evan Neal, I feel like that might be another little bit of a smoke situation, a Smokey the Bear, where he's starting to get pushed down. So I got him going to the Panthers at 6. I just felt like out of the 3 tackles that are available, like they all have questions to an extent, but I think a tiebreaker for like a GM, like Scott Fitterer, he would say, okay, did it at the highest level in college football. And it's not like in Aquanu where he's got questions about his pass sets. It's not about Charles Cross where it's kind of the inverse. He just kind of feels like a pretty safe pick, like you mentioned. And then I've got Aquanu going to the Giants where I feel like it would be a good fit, slot him in at right tackle there, have Andy Thomas continue to be the left tackle, and he could kind of be that downhill run blocker. Sauce Gardner to the Jets at 8. Charles Cross, Seahawks at 9. I feel like they would be eyeing those cornerbacks up a little bit, but they do have a kind of a glaring need at tackle. They're going to have Dwayne Brown coming back potentially, but he's going to be pretty old. So they get his replacement there in Cross. Jameson Williams, first wide receiver off the board. How do you feel about that to the Jets at 10?
I like it. I like Jameson Williams in this class. I think that the Jets wide receiver room, there's been this crazy, crazy, crazy buzz about their wide receiver room. They still have Corey Davis. They still have Elijah Moore. Like they have Mims. Mims, you know, maybe not doing what a lot of people thought he would. But overall, I think adding a receiver is, I don't know. There's been a lot of Wilson talk to the Jets, a lot of different things. But I don't think they need someone immediately. You know, they want to start showing progress. Saleh's in year 2. They love Joe Douglas. There's not this like win now thing. And I think Williams can slide in there and round out that room with Davis and Elijah Moore. Plus, as you've heard me rant and rave about Jameson Williams, I think he is the game breaker of this potentially if he heals up well. So I don't hate that at all.
Okay. So that rounds up the top 10. Kyle Hamilton, Commanders, kind of feels like pretty chalky as well. Drake London, I got going to the Vikings. It just feels like they bring in Kevin O'Connell. They get Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. They're going to like a Tracy kind of guy. They're going to want to pick a flashy offensive player. I think it's time to figure out if they can do this thing with Kirk Cousins. I tend to think that they can't, but like, let's give this thing a shot. Let's not like go with another kind of stock pick. Let's really try to juice this thing up. And Adam Thielen's probably on the way out anyway. So let's get a perfect replacement. Jordan Davis. So I got the Eagles trading up just ahead of the Ravens. They were initially at 15. So they trade up, get Jordan Davis in front of the Ravens. They didn't have to give up much. Ravens go Jermaine Johnson 2 at 14. So we've kind of already talked about
that. They can do the beatdown big board, baby.
Yeah, we did. So, I mean, we kind of have already opined on this, but Jermaine Johnson 2 after the board fell the way that it did in this scenario. What do you think?
I love to see it. I'm a big fan. Jordan Davis coming off the board. We had that discussion where those two were matched up on each other and in the beatdown big board. And I ultimately went with Davis there. I do love Jermaine Johnson. He's a red star guy, but I just am so intrigued by the upside and what Davis could become and think he fits the heritage of the Ravens and what they are so well. And he does things that very few players in the NFL can do, in my opinion, especially in the run game. But unlocking him as a pass rusher is a fun project for Mike McDonald, a fun toy, and he has the perfect mentor in that situation. But Jermaine Johnson bookends with Odafe Owe, and I love it, man. I love it. I think they're somewhat similar and gives you really a mirror of terror in ways, and it unlocks Tyus Bowser. So Johnson's been a red star guy for me for a long time. I've been on that train for quite some time now, and I would love it.
We've heard some whispers, I guess you would say, that there's literally no whispers on Jermaine Johnson inside the Ravens building. That almost makes me like think more that they've got their eye on him and they're just really trying to be secretive about this thing. Which, you know, the further up you get, up to like 14, how secretive do you really have to be to the point where you're not even talking about it at all? I don't know if that's the case, but it just, I got a little bit of a, twinge deep within my loins. Texans trade back to 20 with the Steelers. Steelers take Spengeman Pickett out of Pittsburgh. So it feels like that might be, I know you're not a big Pickett guy. I'm kind of not really either as far as this high for value, but I just feel like the Steelers, they don't do seasons without a planet quarterback, or at least they haven't in 20 years. And if, you know, Mitch Trubisky, he's good enough to win you 10 games, I feel like, but that doesn't feel like much of a long-term plan. I feel like they got this guy in their hometown sort of staring them in the face. So that's the guy instead of Malik Willis, like on Ben's mock, that I see Ravens fans having to root against. And he feels like he would be pretty hateable and pretty easy to root against. So I kind of like that.
It would go into their heritage to like have a Pittsburgh quarterback follow Ben Roethlisberger.
It would. And it would be
fit in that way, yeah, narrative wise.
Yeah. And of course, the class act, Mr. Rooney, we all have to genuflect on, you know, Art Rooney, I think the second, who just never got over the fact that they passed on Danny Marino. So yeah, this time they don't do it. They take him, the Pittsburgh quarterback at 15, even though the value might not totally line up, they get themselves a planet quarterback. They move on. Saints, Trevor Penning at 16. You talked about replacing Teron Armstead with Evan Neal. I kind of had that same idea, but just with Penning, with the way the board fell. Saints just like those big kind of freaky dudes at tackle. It feels like Penning could potentially be that guy. Chris Olave to the Chargers, just adding yet another weapon for Justin Herbert. Why the heck not? Tyler Linderbaum to the Eagles at 18. So they had replaced Fletcher Cox with Jordan Davis. Now they're effectively replaced Jason Kelce. He's still under contract, but they get a guy who's been kind of compared to him in Linderbaum. I like that fit. Bills trade up from 25 to the Saints. They take Garrett Wilson, which that just feels like kind of Bills feel sneaky right now. People are talking about them going running back or something like that in the first round. I'm just like, I don't know if I think Brandon Bean's going to do that. And I have known Brandon Bean to, and everyone has, to go completely out of his way to make sure Josh Allen has everything he needs to succeed. It's worked very well for them. And I think they threw a fourth the Saints way. I wish I had kept a trade comp in front of me, but it's kind of hard with the way that these simulators work out with their results. But they make the jump up to get Garrett Wilson, which I think would be pretty dynamite. Texans have traded back twice now. I think they've gotten a fourth and the fifth in the process after already picking once. They're at 20. They take Devin Lloyd out of Utah, which we've talked about. That is that kind of Tampa 2 kind of Lovey pick, which we'll see how much influence Lovey actually has in this draft room. It feels like he might be a little bit of a patsy, which would stink for him and for, I think, the integrity of this sport, frankly, but we don't have to get into all that. So he gets Stingley and Devin Lloyd, which, I mean, shit, if you're Lovie Smith, you love that. George Karloftis to the Patriots, that just feels like, he feels like a Patriot to me. Like, he just feels like he could be that, like, Rob Ninkovich, like, just, you know, plug him in there, set the edge for 10 years, that type deal. Trent McDuffie to the Packers I thought was kind of surprising, but he had just slid that far, and he feels like a Packers-type cornerback. He's drawn some Jair Alexander comparisons, so went ahead and did that.
I like that one. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it feels like a sneaky one. It feels like, especially with the way the wide receiver board fell, and who knows if they'd even take one in the first round because they don't seem to value the position in that way. But yeah, I just think that's kind of a perfect match. And value wise, it makes a lot of sense. Devontae Wyatt to the Cardinals. I've done a couple of these in preparation, and I've always wound up on that. This is maybe my favorite pick of the first round, 24, Jerry Jones going to the Arkansas well, picking Treylon Burks.
Apparently they've only picked like two Arkansas players in the last like 20 years too. And one of them was Felix Jones. Shout out to, it's an absolutely dynamic Razorback running back, but Treylon Burks, you know, they let go of Amari Cooper. I think he does like more rudimentary things than CeeDee Lamb. And I feel like CeeDee Lamb has been used in that role, where he can now take that step to be the technician that he was and is and move into that like true one role a little bit more. So Gallup on the outside, and you can have Burks as a weapon, as a big slot, really fun with Tony Pollard and that offense. So I think that's a really fun mock pick.
Yeah, Kellen Moore likes to do weird shit with wide receivers too, I feel like. So this would be kind of primed for that. And yeah, he, of course, he had Jerry at the press conference the other day kind of making the half joke, half nod about how it was Steven's decision to pick Taco in the first and it was mine to take Micah last year. And so it's like he's reading his press clippings a little bit. And I think he's kind
of... Again, my favorite part of that is that they threw a hissy fit when Surtain and Horn got picked. Traded back. It showed their draft room and it was completely empty because they all stormed out in a fit of rage.
Yeah, it's not like the usual thing, like when they got Zeke and they're all just like clapping each other on the back and like, you know, high five
it up.
Yeah, and then it's like it's just a sullen, like dreary place when they pick Micah Parsons, which is like maybe their best draft pick since Dak, which is hilarious. So yeah, that was a particular favorite of mine and one that I do feel like could happen. Des Ridder to the Saints at 25. I would like that a lot better if Sean Payton were there. He's not, so we'll see what happens. But it just feels like that's another team that's it's time to like try and get a future plan at quarterback here. And they traded back, they got some value, and they pick up Desmond Ridder, who I don't know, feels like he could be pretty pro ready at some point. Kenyon Green to the Titans, I felt like was a really fun pick, and I feel like that one has a good chance of happening. Maybe down at 26, but that's just sort of the way that it fell for me. I had Dax Hill to the Buccaneers. Feels like they might have other bigger needs, but I just, you know, talk about things being burned into my brain. The Stafford to Cup, you know, sort of play and the breakdown of that secondary at the end of the season. I feel like Jason Light's not going to let that happen again. I had our boy George Thickens. So the Packers do go wide receiver in the first round with him at 28. So that feels like that would be kind of a fun pick. That's not the usual Packers
type. I think that's a good sterile environment for him too.
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to be like doing much. He's going to like try and start a fight with some dude named like Doug at they probably don't have Whole Foods out there, you know, some sort of like mini mart. And it's just like, oh no, sorry, George, you know, let me, you know, buy you some a cheese wheel and some spotted cow and let's talk this thing through. And, yeah, so that would be a good environment for him. Like I said, not really the typical fit there. You know, a little bit of a bigger, slower guy as opposed to what they usually like, but they did have some size in Devontae Adams that they got rid of. So felt like you're at least adding some presence. Chiefs, I did Jalen Petrie, which I feel like that's a fit you would like. And then I did David Ojabo. And here's my reasoning for this.
Go for it.
They're going to be in the AFC Championship game if David Ojabo doesn't even play one snap this year.
He doesn't have to come back. Mahomes can win them 11, 12, 13 games. We'll see. We'll see. Tyreek too. Little funny there. We'll see what's going on in KC.
Tyreek Hill, that's a watch this space for the Chiefs in this mock draft. So they picked David Ojabo. He's probably going to play this year, I would think, at some point. So if he comes back for the playoffs and helps them win a Super Bowl in some respect, like that will be big. And then they get him in the first round. They get the fifth-year option like we talked about, I think, the other night. So that's one that I think there's been rumblings that Ojabo could be in the first round. Feels like that's a sneaky fit. Kyrie Elam to the Bengals. I would hate how much I like that. And then Lewis Cine to the Lions. Lions is going kind of chalky. They're not taking the bait on any of these quarterbacks quite yet. But moving in the second, we can pick it up a little bit. Nakobe Dean, Jaguars, Sky Moore to the Lions, Zion Johnson, Jets, Travis Jones, New York Giants, Bernard Raymond to the Texans, Jaquan Brisker to the Jets. And then I have the Ravens trading up from 45 to 39. They gave up their, I believe, let me check and see. They gave up their 45th pick and their 119th pick, which I think mostly checks out Jimmy Johnson-wise, to draft Andy Booth Jr. at cornerback, which everyone talks about as a pretty good fit. Some Marlon Humphrey comparisons. How do you like that? Because it seems
Where did they trade up to?
So they were at 45. They trade up to the Bears at 39.
Picks?
Yeah, get in front of the Seahawks. They give up their 45th pick and their 119th pick.
That would be a five slamma jamma, in my opinion. Any combo of if you can get Booth in the second round, you didn't have to trade up and got one of your guys in Jermaine Johnson or one of our guys, I should say. So I think really I've kind of settled into loving Jermaine Johnson if he is available or Jordan Davis at that 14th pick, and to pair him with Booth to bring Booth in, who draws Marlon Humphrey comparisons in ways, and I do see it somewhat, but to go get that would be awesome. I have some pretty bad hiccups right now, but he brings some tenacity. He's not put into a high-pressure situation. I think he's got a little bit of learning to do. I don't love – actually, Venables has had some big-time corners come out. Terrell has been awesome in Atlanta, but Booth is a fun fit for Baltimore and gives you some immediate depth, immediate like rotational quality plus depth plus long-term viability. So I think that's a kick-ass trade if possible.
Yeah, definitely. They get in front of the Seahawks, who I think would be kind of in striking range for him after they didn't take a corner. Like I said, they got Charles Cross. So then I had them take Tyler Smith, who's got some guard versatility, and he could also play tackle for them too. So they kind of double up on tackles there with their picks. And then Arnold Ebiketie beyond that, Sam Howell to the Colts. We can start to fly through these a little bit. I had Christian Watson.
Sam Howell to the Colts is like Ballard's going to keep poking and poking and poking. And they've gotten some weird quarterbacks over the last couple of years trying to bring guys in and do something. So I like that one.
He's not going to have to do anything for you. Like Matt Ryan's still pretty good, I think. So like you're going to get at least a year out of Matt Ryan. That's a good spot for him to develop. And I don't know how much I'm buying Sam Ehlinger and his thick old ass as a developmental quarterback. So we got Christian Watson to the Bears, Jahan Dotson to the Chiefs, which was kind of my Tyreek Hill sort of fit. He's not quite as
badass for them.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a home run. I had Matt Corral going to Washington at 47. Let's see, Roger McCreary to the Pats. I liked that one. Josh Pascal in the second to the Falcons. Trey McBride, first tight end off the board, I believe, to the Packers. Perrion Winfrey went to the Chiefs. Chiefs have so many picks. I kind of hate it.
I'm pretty sure they have like the third most draft capital in a single draft in the last like 5 years or something crazy.
Yeah. Like, hey, look at that. An all-in team prioritizing the draft. Chad Moomin of the Cowboys, that would be insufferably awesome. I like that a lot. Dylan Parham to the Bengals, I would like that. Perrion Winfrey to the Chiefs. Carson Strong, that's the dart that the Seahawks throw at quarterback. I was thinking, like, I've been messing with, like, the trade Baker Mayfield in these scenarios, like, to the Seahawks and, like, even just, like, a salary dump type deal and, like, pick swap type thing. I might have just forgotten to do that in this scenario. So, like, maybe Baker
Mayfield. You want to put it out there that that's what you want.
Yeah, maybe. So, it's either – I think they're going to throw a dart at quarterback. It's either going to be, like, just, you know, kind of – well, okay, Browns, we'll take Baker Mayfield off your hands here. I went with Carson Strong in this case, you know, similar to Drew Lock. So at the very least, you got a good backup for the year. Went to Marvin Leal to the Giants at 79, was a little notable. And, oh, yeah, okay, so I skipped the Ravens at 76. Cole Strange falls right into their lap.
Boom, love it.
Yeah, so that was, that just feels like one that, I feel like I've been seeing it in almost every mock draft that gets sent to me, of which there are many, as I've said. I'm not totally buying this. Patrick McCary's our center. That's the end of it. And I'm certainly not buying the idea that if Cole Strong...
I was thinking about that the other day. If there's one thing that's BS, it's that McCary is the center. If there's one thing that's been BS this entire time, it's that McCary is the center. And I don't... I feel like it's not about Linderbaum at all. And I think that you're spot on there. I'm simpatico with you there.
Exactly. And what I was going to say is like, yeah, well, he might be right now, but if Cole Strange or somebody like that is sitting there at 76 to take, of course you're going to take him. So that's kind of where that comes down to. And then you got a nice camp battle there between Strange and McCary. So yeah, there are worse spots to be in than that. Danny Gray to the Patriots, of course, at 85. So Cam Jurgens go to the Raiders. John Mechie wound up with the Buccaneers, which I thought was fun. Christian Harris to the Packers. James Cook, I think, first running back off the board to the 49ers. And then I had Ravens trading up, I believe, from 100. They move 100 and 196 to move up to the Chiefs at 94. They take Alec Pierce there. And I liked the fit from the perspective of height. And I haven't watched a ton
of us trying to do the Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks basketball starting five.
Exactly. Yeah. And it feels like something that they would do. Like, and they just lost plenty of height with Miles Boykin leaving. Not that like he was a huge presence in the receiving game necessarily, but I don't know. I kind of like what we've seen from Pierce. You said there's been some Eric Decker comparisons. So I would like that fit of just like the possession guy. You've got your speed guy. You've got your kind of shooting guard with Bateman. Go and get the possession guy that's just going to be able to move some chains, hopefully, for you as soon as this year. I kind of like that. So a little bit of a trade up for Alec Pierce. So they've traded up twice now. And this is kind of how I'm feeling. Like I'm kind of feeling
And they still have a lot of picks in the fourth round. They still have, what, 3 fourth round picks, I think you still have. So
yeah,
definitely I like the idea. I like the thought process there and still having some picks. I think they do like the fourth round, but as our buddy Dan Rees has said, you know, it would be really tight to make 9 or 10 picks on this roster with how they have things stacked. In terms of Alec Pierce himself, it would be really funny to me because I view him as so similar to Miles Boykin, but just a little more natural, like as a receiver, as opposed to a football player, if that makes sense. Like his releases feel a little more intuitive coming out of college, fits a similar profile, awesome tester, all of those things, you know, that jump ball boundary kind of guy. So I think he can do some things in the slot too. Like he's a little more receiver than football player, but very similar to Miles Boykin in some ways.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of where I'm coming from is get the height. And like, if you're going to be concerned about the Miles Boykin thing, don't be, because you're probably not going to get another Miles Boykin. Like, that's the way that I look at it. Not to say that you can't do any worse than him, because I think he was a solid player, like good blocker, actually like a little bit more of a scoring threat than I think people gave him credit for. But I don't know. I think Pierce, you know, I kind of like the idea of him being a sneaky option for them on day three, because we've talked about these wide receiver options. The board kind of gets cleared in this scenario and they just say, oh, hey, here's a guy at Al. Here's a guy. We're going to trade up and, you know, give up, I think their last pick in the draft. So it's another trade up. They get him. And I sort of like that scenario. So had him.
Definitely. And I think spending a top 100 pick on a receiver too, I still think there is some sort of white whale, Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome. Like, we like Hollywood. We really like Bateman, but I need to hit one still. And so you take a tester with traits who can release, who can go do jump balls and rounds out your room. I think there's a little white whale to that. That's not quite the way I want to put it, but still.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having three really good receivers, especially in 2022. Like, it feels like almost a prerequisite to me at this point. So I could definitely see
that. And again, I think that's nice insurance. Feels, you know, that Cincinnati had a pretty pro style offense in many ways, and they need a boundary body, and it might be a veteran. It's going to be either a veteran or a pick. So I still think they do have a need of boundary receiver bodies, and that does that. So I wasn't super high on Alec Pierce. I know there's some people that are like, Chris Sims is like, this is my wide receiver too. Some other people are like, yeah, I've got him in the top five, top six, top seven. Feels like that died down a little bit, just media narrative wise, whatever. But I like that pick. I like the ideas and the trades. I think this is very well thought out so far. Keep rolling. Calvin Austin in Miami is a
I thought that was a ton of fun, especially like with Tyreek there. Yeah, like that's pretty sick.
And Waddle. Yeah, that's the rich getting richer speed wise.
Yeah, Bailey Zapp to the Rams quarterback. I thought that was kind of fun. Adam Jones, I did want to address. So he says, I just don't see the value and we have so many other needs. So I would address that by saying they got Jermaine Johnson, who's going to start at edge. They got Andrew Booth, who's probably going to be starting some games at cornerback for you. They just got Cole Strange. At a certain point when you're in the draft, you kind of just like start to go after the guys that you want. And it's not just, oh, we got to fill a starter here. We got to do that. We got this need. It's like at a certain point, you start to stack for needs that might be not needs when the season kicks off, but needs halfway through the season when Hollywood Brown is hurt for a game or Rashad Bateman is hurt for a game and you need somebody to step in with some talent. That's kind of where I was coming from. That's kind of where I feel like they're going to be coming from, to your point. I feel like they are going to be in the receiver market still. Bailey Zapp to the Rams, like I said. Who do we got? Channing Tindall goes to the Seahawks at 109, right before the Ravens at 110. I got them taking Jeremy Ruckert.
My favorite tight end in this class is Ruckert. Very overall well-rounded game. Think he can be a true NFL blocker in different ways and can get on the field quickly. Last year wasn't box score wise what people expected from him, but there are so many clips of him bodying some big time rushers from this class, really giving guys a lot of trouble. So big fan of Ruckert. I think he has enough twitch at the top of routes to be a good receiver in the NFL, and I think he will be a good tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's another pick where it's like, you know, hopefully Boyle comes back healthy and everything, but who knows how much longer Boyle is going to be in the picture. Obviously, Mark is going to be for a long time, but you get a guy who, if Boyle goes down, if Mark goes down, you just got your setup pretty well. Tim Lieberman says, how do we get Booth in this mock? I joined late. So he fell a little bit. So they traded up from 45 to 39, Tim, with the Bears. They gave up one of their last two picks, I think. And I think it all worked out Jimmy Johnson-wise. So they get Andy Booth Jr. at 39 for those just joining. So we had Jeremy Ruckert at 110. Then Rashid Walker to the Jets at 117. I'm sure you're a big Rashid Walker guy, right?
Huge Rashid Walker guy. I like him a lot. Not surprised to see him go in like the second round, early third round, and love the fit for the Ravens in Roman's offense and see a lot of potential. Super young. Maryland kid, super young, very good in the run game, very athletic in his pass sets. Couple things to clean up. Like him a lot. Like him a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot.
Dan Filele to the Bears at 119. There's another kind of tackle prospect that I would think the Ravens would have their eyes on. And then Nicholas Pettit-Frere from Ohio State as well, another tackle prospect there. I believe Ravens' next pick is going to be Alante Taylor at 128, cornerback out of Tennessee. So they've doubled up on cornerbacks at this point, which I think is very much a possibility. Like, I think they really are not comfortable with not having a lot of cornerbacks on the roster, which they don't right now.
Yeah, and Alante Taylor is one of those guys who fits the physical profile of what the Ravens like in DBs. Some have him as a safety. Murdered the combine. Has some stiffness to him. Think he's fine in like a cover three role if needed to play early on. Just think he's a little tight, a little delayed. Not the best processor yet necessarily. I think he's a guy you want to keep it simple with. Not, you know, doesn't jump off the page with route anticipation at times. But runs, hits, physical, size, length, athleticism, and wants to absolutely like mug guys at the line of scrimmage. He can jam. He can punch, hit, strike at the line of scrimmage. So I like that pick a lot, especially as a second corner in this class and someone who is going to come play special teams at a super high level. And I think you can unlock a lot having a guy like Marlon Humphrey and a guy like Marcus Peters, of course, to instill some knowledge in that gentleman. And I like that fit. Him, Cam Taylor-Britt, Josh Williams, all corners that are like third, fourth round that I like. Damari Mathis a bit too. Jalen Armour-Davis. So I think you're right too. I, with all these picks, if they're picking 8-9 times, cornerback is probably the best place to put two picks.
Yeah, and the double dip, that's EDC's move. So this is kind of where he chooses to do it at cornerback. And that's okay, my next pick. Micah McFadden, linebacker, Indiana. I like Micah McFadden a lot. Kind of would be a sneaky pick. I don't think fans might be too pleased with this one, but it just feels like they sniffed around on Bob Wagner. You know, it feels like they could be making a move for a linebacker in this draft to me. And I settled on him, I think, with some of the other guys off the board. Any thoughts on Micah McFadden?
I mean, super productive blitzer. Doesn't have a ton of length. Think he's, you know, somebody that comes in and fights. He's undersized. He can, I don't know. He's weird. He's weird. He's weird. He's weird. He's not very good outside. Like in the NFL, it would be outside the numbers. But, yeah, can come in, compete, challenge blocks a little bit. But it's a lot high. You know, it's white guy cliche, but like high effort. I don't know. His processing can be fun at times, and it can also be a little weird. So, Don't hate that at all. Really good blitzer. Not, you know, super coverage savvy ultimately, but he's a team captain. So the Ravens love that. Almost all of Eric DaCosta's picks are team captains. He's kind of like a running back in ways. He's matches running backs well, I'll say that.
That's what I was thinking, like the team captain type thing. And, you know, you mentioned the productivity. It just feels like every year with the Ravens, you get at least one super random pick that's based on like a super productive, like a team captain, Brandon Stevens last year. You get it with some of these guys. I don't think Micah McFadden would even be that random, but he was just kind of the one guy that I was looking
at. It's not that random.
Yeah. And then funny enough, because of the two trade ups, this is our last pick and it is Brian Robinson Jr., running back, Alabama. And I don't know if like this is totally realistic. Like they probably, you know, realistically, we'll try to trade back so they can get a fifth, sixth, or seventh. But to me, it just felt like if you pick eight times and it's all within the first four rounds, like what's wrong with that? So Brian Robinson out of Alabama, their last pick in this class.
For sure. I think condensing is great. That's been my goal a lot of times. And I think the other alternative is like moving out of a 141. I like Robinson, the fit number one. I think he's giving you an amazing rookie to come into an offense if needed and be a high down player. If Gus can't go, if JK can't go, what he can do on third down is a nice soft hands catcher. Very professional running back. Led the SEC in missed tackles. He's a workhorse, runs a little high. Everybody loves to say that about some running backs. You know, he isn't a burner, but he's got a couple gears. He's got 2-3 gears. He can run. And he's a hoss. He's a horse. He's a little similar to Gus in some ways. So short yardage back, big back, all those things. I think he fits in nicely into the Ravens offense. But, you know, let's say they, of this, like, I would say, like, all right, let's take Robinson at 141 or 139 and then trade back 141 and they end up getting like 207 and a fifth round next year or something, or like a sixth round next year. Give themselves a little tickle for next year since they don't have comp picks coming.
Yeah, it's going to be weird for them to just be sitting there through 5, 6, and 7 without making one pick. Like they're probably just not going to know what to do with their hands. So they probably will try to make that trade back at some point, but I even sort of lost track of it. I made those two trade ups, which I think they should be looking to do with all these day three picks and like kind of premium day three picks. Like, yeah, move up in the second round if Andrew Booth is falling. Move up if you have a prospect you like Alec Pierce, you know, how I matched them up. So, yeah, eight picks in total. It was Jermaine Johnson in the first round. It was Andrew Booth in the second round with a trade up. It was Cole Strange at 76 in the third round. Alec Pierce in the third round with a trade up. Fourth round consisted of Jeremy Ruckert, Alante Taylor, Micah McFadden, Brian Robinson. Feels a little meat and potatoes-y, but I like this draft a lot.
I think it has some sizzle to it at the top. I think Booth and Johnson has some sizzle for sure. Let's go back through your first round. I didn't really do my own mock or anything, but I just want to kind of go through here, look at the first round, maybe a little in the second round, look at some picks and fits and things that I think, you know, are fun or maybe a little weird. So immediate thoughts. I love Kayvon Thibodeau. He is my edge one. Him in Detroit would be a lot of fun. Ben Albright doesn't think that's happening, so I don't know. But to me, I like him the best in show. Texans, Derek Stingley. The funny thing about the Texans is that they do need corners, but they also have Lovie freaking Smith, who has been quoted as many times as saying, you can find cover two corners at 7-Eleven. You can get him off the street. So that one's funny. Malik Willis to the Falcons, I think is really fun. Definitely. I think in Arthur Smith's offense, that would be a good way to utilize him in that the offense, as I always refer to. Walker and Aquanu. Whoo, Wink Martindale would have a lot of fun with Trayvon Walker for sure. Aquanu, definitely an intriguing player on that line to move around, figure out what to do with Andrew Thomas. Jets definitely are going to love Sauce Gardner. They've been desperate for a corner for years. Kyle Hamilton, the Commies and the Eagles, and what's the other fit? The Texans, I like him. It kind of slotted in those spots. Big JD for the Eagles. I like the fact that you moved up to take him. I think that's been him, McDuffie, Linderbaum, Jameson Williams are kind of the guys that feels like the Eagles have their eye on from what I've read. So Jordan Davis, that would be a fun trade up. The weird thing in all of this is the Saints, and this happened with Albright too, the Saints sitting tight after trading up for that pick. Them sitting and picking feels weird. If it does allow them to pick Evan Neal, I think that would be what they're doing. But Loomis just goes and gets his guys. He is the most willing to go get his guys in the draft of anyone. Trades up so often. The Davenport trade was so crazy when it happened, and it's turned out all right for them, I'd say. A little bit. Olave fits in. That would be an insane group. Olave, Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. That's a really nice group for Justin Herbert. Let's keep scrolling. Garrett Wilson's a fun fit, I think. Devin Lloyd in a Lovie Smith defense is a cover two linebacker. That's an awesome fit in my mind. I think you nailed Karlaftis a little bit. The other one that they supposedly love is Quay Walker, just because he's gigantic. Gigantic thumper, and that's kind of what Karlaftis fits profile-wise too. Ritter on the Saints in the trade back. That one, them netting what they got in this one's a little fun. I like Ritter. Kenyon Green as you like to call him, the combine in that offense for Derrick Henry would be a lot of fun. Petrie and Ojabo, you know, trying to replace Matthew and then going and getting Ojabo. Like you said, we talked about that. I thought that was a really fun fit. And then a kneecap biter to cap it off in the first round with Lewis Cine. So I think this was a fun one, man. I think you did a pretty good job. McDuffie was a good fit on the Packers. You nailed that whole little spiel about Jaire Alexander to me. So I think you did a pretty fun job here, buddy. It seems like you had a lot of fun going extensive right before too.
Yeah, I did. It's like we compared it to a certain activity that you do to maybe make certain experiences better. And so that's sort of what it felt like for this. Like I said, I sort of tuned out the mock drafts a little bit. I didn't even really read that much into a lot of the insiders. Like, you got the ones that you need to read. Like, you got to read DJ. DJ's plugged into all these teams. He's kind of making some of his, you know, picks based off of what he's hearing from them. Mel is the same way, I think, probably. So you got your guys that you do have to check out. But yeah, man, it hasn't been like past years where it's just, you know, I'm reading every single thing that I can get my hands on. I compared it in my article, like I said, to the fantasy football thing, where I only do one fantasy football team a year and I have skin in a game with it. And it's a lot of fun. So it was fun to just say, okay, it's mock draft time. Let's sit down here and let's do our own and let's really kind of sink our teeth into it as opposed to just piecemealing our way through them throughout the process, which, like I said, is fun in many ways and it's still fun for a lot of people, and that's great. But I think this was a fun approach to take this year.
I agree, my friend. I certainly agree. So I think you nailed that. I think that's a full episode. I think that's a full episode where we could go further, and the thoughts coming to my mind, I was like, all right, yeah, we could rattle off guys we like as fits for the Ravens or play like a Raven guys or whatever, Red Stars or something. But I honestly just want to say, let's save it for tomorrow. We're going to be live streaming. We're going to have plenty of time to be chit-chatting and talking. I think you nailed that mock draft. Had some fun fits, second, third, fourth round. I like the class you brought in for the Ravens. And I think you did a stand-up job there, my friend. So you waited, you saved it, and you edged yourself right at the perfect time.
Exactly. It was just a master class of edging on my part. So, yeah, and speaking of which, Ravens get an edge at 14 in Jermaine Johnson. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and make that my prediction that tomorrow night at this time we will be talking about Jermaine Johnson as a Raven. And I guess I'm going to throw it over to you. What's your prediction before we get out of here?
The fat man, I've kind of fixated on him a little bit. Jordan Davis, I've fixated on this fit. It's been going on. I think others, I wouldn't say I've been shaped by others, but I felt it's like been part of the avalanche of my feeling that that's where they go. Daniel Jeremiah has been on it. Albright's on it. It's not uncommon. I don't think it's anything crazy, but I have been excited by him since October, I think. I made that meme a long time ago of him and Devontae Wyatt, who I want the Ravens to draft, and then who they had taken the third round instead, and it was him and Devontae Wyatt. Devontae Wyatt, probably not on their board, but could very easily be first, second-round pick, probably no worse than a second-round pick. So Davis is my crystal ball, and I'm going to keep going after it. Adam Jones here says, Spenny, noted fan of the big boys on both sides. I am a big boy. I love the big boys for life, baby. I think we would have some fun shirts to come out if they took Jordan Davis too.
We really should have, speaking of things that we should have done, we really should have made t-shirts for this live stream.
It's made something. So we went a little calm here. We wanted to float through. We didn't want to burn ourselves out. So I don't think we nailed this one, but tomorrow we will be live streaming. We'll have some guests floating in and out. We might, you know, be hopping on the SB Nation flagship, like Twitter Space, I think. Tomorrow we hopped on their live show. So feel free to join us. We'll be watching ESPN. It's going to be casual, as we always are. I think the first time we did it, we got absolutely blacked out. I think the two of us drank like 33 beers that night.
So, yeah, we did it 2020, which was the COVID year. So that was digital. And, yeah, we definitely got drunk for that. But last year, we got fucking hammered from what I remember, which is not the entirety of that night. But yeah, I mean, that was a fun one. And that was a full night because we were waiting until 27 and 31. It had a lot of juice, two first round picks. They wind up getting the one guy we wanted. And then they wound up getting another flashy guy who turned out to be a pretty damn good pick in my estimation. So yeah, that was a great night. And yeah, hopefully we're going to be looking at something similar. I think we are. I have a good feeling.
We certainly will, my friend. So I'm pumped for tomorrow. I just drank some coffee. I'm going to be up all night. I'll have my edge rankings out in the morning with
coffee for the week.
What'd you say?
Coffee is for the weak.
Coffee is for the weak, and I am a weak person. So there we go. The coffee isn't weak, though. The coffee isn't weak. But that's good for ultimately, you, I'm using nailing this right on an hour. We'll have Vaz. We'll have Cole. We'll have maybe Bobby or some other friends popping in and out. Some Baltimore beatdown guys. Maybe some Exit 52 boys coming on after the good old freaking Jimmy Seafood draft
are they doing
party.
Are they doing the Jimmy's party this year again?
Yeah, they said they'd FaceTime us drunk again if we wanted to, or hop on the stream basically and give us a little feeling of what's going there. So, feel free to join at any time to our audience. We love you guys. I think this is a little more relatable for like those who live in a state that's not Maryland and are watching the draft and a little more dad vibes or something. So that's what we'll be shooting for. We'll be shooting the shit the whole night. We appreciate you guys for listening. It's been a nice, fun process leading up to this draft. And can't wait to see how it plays out tomorrow and through the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, tune into that. We'll probably get going around a little bit before 8 p.m. would be my guess. Have some pizza and beer flown and just get the takes flown as well. Like you said, we're going to be probably, I don't think we're going to stop the stream. I'll probably just pause it, turn our audio down, and they're doing a Twitter Spaces for SB Nation. So we'll hop into that, break down the pick there, and then get the stream back going up again. But yeah, just going to be there all night, chilling, shooting the shit, and talking. So jump in there.
Throughout the weekend, we might be doing Twitter Spaces. We might be streaming. We'll keep everybody posted, but we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably a live stream night two, and then I'm going to be on the golf course during the third round and basically the full third day. So maybe I'll tune in from my cart in a Twitter space as they're making all their picks in the fourth round. So yeah, we're going to be, the content machine is going to be cranking. It's going to be a ton of fun. As it always is, I love the draft. It's one of my favorite times of the year. This is the best time of the year to be a sports fan, in my opinion, with golf majors kicking back up. You got the draft, you got March Madness, and we're starting to really hit the crescendo.
NBA playoffs.
Yeah, NBA play. Yeah, exactly. You got everything going on. So it's great. And this is easily one of my crown jewels of this part of the calendar. So very excited for it. Guys, hop in the into the live stream tomorrow night. Leave some comments. We'll be interacting and like I said, having a ton of fun. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. It was a nice tight hour. Good thing we didn't let it get away from us because we got a long night tomorrow. It's going to be a good one. We'll talk to you guys then.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Super Bowl out of me. Need that. Need that.